I feel like there's a level to it where I try and apply a lot of things I like to from characters I see to my life. And there's something to like really just testing yourself. And I think that's something everyone can apply, you know, to life, where it's like, yeah, you may be the best, but why not try and be better than you? Why not try and top your best?
Recently, I've been having a conversation with my girlfriend about just how powerful stories are. So much of what we know how to act, these are all things we've absorbed through stories. Just think of the way you think about love, the way you think about friendship, violence, sex, even society and how a society is supposed to work. Okay, let's say even if someone sat you down when you were young and told you about all these things, I imagine you learned a lot more about it through the stories you saw. And these stories aren't always positive. You've got to be aware of that so you can control for the bad things you learn or are currently learning through the stories you absorb. I mean, stories you see on TV, movies, books, even on social media are things that can help internalize misogyny, sexism, homophobia, ableism. And if you're interested in deprogramming some of the negative stories you've been absorbing, can I recommend the Bechdel cast from my former guest Jamie and Caitlin, or some of the YouTube videos of former guest Maggie Mae Fish? But other than just deprogramming the effects of bad stories on you, if you're aware of how powerful stories can be, you can also choose a media diet with stories that are full of things you want, like stories that empower you to be a stronger version of yourself or kinder to other people while still being tough. That's what this episode is about. I hope you guys enjoy it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to At Least There's This, a show about some of the small good things in our what-the-fuck world. So, George, I think HW just died, and it always puts me in this weird place when a old man who seems kindly dies, because, like, he seems so kindly, but also, no, like, he was a shit dude. But then President Trump is a real shit dude, so you're like, is he... should I be sad now because I know in retrospect he was fine? This doesn't matter. I'm not a political pundit.
You're on to something very good, because I was thinking about this. It was funny because for a second I was like, do I talk in this part? And I was like, I feel you're looking at me, so you want me to. Sometimes people do, like, hey, at the top of my podcast, I'm doing a whole ass monologue. Shut up.
I'm not going to intro my guest yet, but he's a consummate podcast professional, and I'm going to let him do whatever he wants. let's talk about this.
Well, here's my one take on that is that I feel like when you in politics, there's this weird thing where you get to do all this trash shit in office, and then there's this buffer because, like you said, there's all these other politicians, and then you get to do stuff in your post-political life that isn't as under scrutiny. So right. You get this almost new persona until someone, which has been recent, I think in the new internet age, is like, hey, hold on, here's the receipts of all the shit that, right, they've done. Because, yeah, I was the same way, where I did, like, honestly, also, HW was kind of before our time, so we weren't paying attention, but it was affecting a lot of marginalized groups who, you know, had his number.
Right, so, pretty much.
So it was crazy, because it was like, oh, yeah, you were bad, but you... You know, we even, like, even when you think of, like, George W. Bush, and everyone's was like, oh, he gave a candy to Michelle Obama, and all, and that was our time where we can go back and be, but it is, like, once your political time is up, you almost forget about all that bad stuff, because President George W. Bush is different than George W. Bush.
Right, President George W. Bush died.
Yeah.
And now the real George W. Bush died, and, like, we have to try to square that circle of, like, well, who's who in this case?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Guys, let's just do my normal podcast convention and then get to it. I'm having too much fun talking to my guest. In a world where nobody knows how to classify what happens when people who do bad shit die, at least there's...
anime. Woo! Yes.
if you cannot tell, I am with the wonderful, the incorrigible Ify Wadiway.
Oh, man. Hey, how's it going?
It's going really well, dude. And we're going to be talking about anime.
But before we do, Iffy, are you an optimist? Are you a pessimist?
What's up with you?
You're an optimist.
I am an eternal optimist, and I feel like it's because I'm a child of an immigrant who has beat into my head, like, you have it so much better than I did, so you better appreciate it. So you're like, all right, cool. All right, yeah, everything's tight.
What does that look like?
You know, it's like stories whenever there's comparable stories whenever you're complaining about something. Even though I've been able to fact check some and they didn't add up. Like whenever I wanted a ride somewhere and my dad, he'd be like, I used to have to walk 20 miles to go to school and with no shoes, barefoot, on the rock, and you need a ride in a car. And I went to Nigeria, and we were at his old house, and then we walked to a school, and it was like about like 2 or 3 blocks. And I was like, wow.
Oh. Everything seems so much bigger when you're a kid, though.
He was just straight up lying.
I am, so my girlfriend is also the children of immigrants, and I love, it's like a superpower that you guys have, where like your stories about your parents are like, oh, it comes with a soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the accent.
Oh, yeah. No, it's because it's so funny because I know some people have different takes. I'm like, oh, do you use an accent or do you just say it normally? And some do, some don't. To me, it's like, do what you want. But for me, it's like that was such a part of it is the emphasis that would come with his accent would make it so much more grand, you know, the things he was saying. Like, you know, if he was just like, yeah, man, it took me a while to go to school. I had to walk 50 miles. I probably wouldn't care.
Like, shut up, Dad.
Yeah, shut up, Dad. I'm doing drugs. But, you know, it really does, I think, package the whole picture.
So what does that optimism look like in your day-to-day, though? Like, let's say something not small, right? You don't stub your toe, but we're not talking, like, Civil War started. Something shit happens to you. Like, how do you approach that with this optimistic lens you got from your father?
I think it is just, like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this moment, even though it feels bad now, will pass. And kind of having that as your mantra makes it even stronger every time you have to use it, because then you can think about the last time you used it and the fact that it did pass. Like, when you're thinking about, like, when you are telling yourself, like, this will pass, and you remember the last time you said it, and it did indeed pass, it kind of gets stronger. It's one of those mantras that I feel gets stronger the more you use it.
I love that. It's like you're adding a new prayer bead to your string of prayer beads every time you use it. I want to keep asking you about this, but this is a segue that I can't pass up.
Yeah.
Talking about something that gets stronger every time it's used. Just like Saiyans.
Yeah.
Let's talk about anime. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so, that was a solid segue. I thought you were going for it.
You thought I was going for the DBZ segue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, because DBZ is like my top favorite anime, and it's because it was one of my first, and it kind of stays true. A lot of anime is influenced by DBZ.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as someone who like lifts and also just in life, just the kind of core of DBZ is being strong enough to defeat your enemies, and then if you're not strong enough, get stronger.
Like, yeah.
You know, you never see that in a lot of media. Like, a lot of times it's like you have to find the trick to beat them. Like, what is the thing you haven't thought of that will allow you to defeat the enemy?
Right.
Whereas this one's like, no, you just train and get stronger. It was like, yeah, there is no trick. It's hard work and, like, really actually doing the work so that you can defeat these hurdles.
See, that makes sense with you being an, as you said, eternal optimist, because Dragon Ball Z is an incredibly optimistic show. We're talking about Dragon Ball Z, by the way, which for those of you in a higher tax bracket and an older age group, anime is Japanese animation. It's the stuff that you told your children not to watch. My parents never did that. My brothers absolutely made fun of me for watching anime.
Really?
And Dragon Ball Z is one of the most Or the most, I don't know. My friend yesterday said One Piece is the most famous anime, but I don't know.
I disagree.
I've never watched an episode of One Piece. Yeah.
There are some that he could have said that I would have agreed, but One Piece is not. It's just going on for so long.
Yeah.
But as far, like, no one, like, if you go somewhere and you, like, say Spirit Bomb Goku, you're going to turn more ears than if you say, like, Luffy, Gum Gum Fruit, like, you know, like, what?
Fuck that. Yeah. Yeah. And Dragon Ball Z is what we're talking about. So it's a very optimistic show for that reason, right? Like, you got to keep getting stronger, and you can.
Yes.
You can keep getting stronger.
Oh, yeah. And then it also has the, I think, another level of optimism is how many of their enemies have become friends. Like, Piccolo was the big bad in Dragon Ball, and in the first season of Dragon Ball Z, he's watching his enemy's son, you know, and training him. And then you have, you know, Vegeta, who came and tried to destroy Earth, and Goku beat him up, and then now they're friends. And then even, like, with when you go into Dragon Ball Super, Boo, who was the bad, you know, the series finale bad, and now in this new version of the series, he is a friend. Like, it is the thing of, like, you know, always try and extend that olive branch and see what happens.
There's another thing I see in that is super optimistic, and that's something that my favorite genre is wuxia, right? Like, Chinese martial arts fiction. Yeah. And I think anime and wuxia share it of, like, someone who is as tough as you is your brother.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, like, the Goku Vegeta, Goku Piccolo thing, where they're like, when you come into conflict with someone, you can either try to eradicate them, or you realize, oh, we're not so different, you and I. And I think that's so optimistic.
Oh, yeah. And you kind of see fun stuff like that in One Punch Man, which I really like.
Love One Punch
Man. It's solid. And I feel like even if you aren't an anime fan, you should check it out, because you will like it. There are some, like, you know, things that are parodied that you might miss. But in the sense, I have a buddy who's watched no anime, and he loves the whole series. But there, it is that thing of, like, this guy who is super strong, and he's just looking for a fight. So, like, in that season finale battle, he's, like, excited because he's like, oh, this guy can take a punch.
But then it goes away, too. Yeah. And it's so indicative of life, of, like, you think, I love One Punch Man as a response to, as sort of like a realistic or even nihilistic response to the optimism of some anime that we grew up with, where, like, sometimes life is just kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, this, I thought it was going to, because it is funny, because it is like, if you are, like, the strongest guy, how fun would that be? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be.
Let's talk about, speaking of the strongest guy, let's talk about you and how you came to anime. Like, how did this happen?
Oh, man, I've always kind of been a huge nerd growing up, because growing up in Compton, my dad obviously wanted to keep a close eye on me, didn't really want me out as much. So I was kind of a, you know, indoor kid, but in this sense where he wanted me to be super studious, and I just didn't care. Like, I wanted to draw. I liked comic books, and I would just kind of, you know, I wasn't getting much of it. My dad was like, you know, my dad didn't see the merit in, like, giving to my hobbies. He wanted me to study. And so, like, I would find, you know, just like a nugget and just squeeze so much out of it. And when I really kind of got to go and explore anime was when Adult Swim really started showing it.
Yeah. How old are you?
When it started, this had to be younger than 14, 12 when I really got
into it. We're contemporaries. I'm not sure if we're the same
age. Oh, how old am I now?
How old are you? When were you born?
1988. So 1988. I'm
30 now. Okay, cool. Yeah, so I was born in 1990. So, like, we were... Yeah. I think
just 2 years apart.
Right, I was like 10 or something when Adult Swim started playing anime.
So it was like that perfect moment, because I think before that, my only source of anime was my cousin Michael, where it was the opposite, where he had all the game systems and all the, like, he had, you know, Vampire Hunter D on VHS. And, like, so he was kind of like, it would be going over his house and kind of, like, sucking in all this anime knowledge and going home and, like, trying to, you know, you're almost basically imagining it. So then when Adult Swim came, I was able to that's when I really jumped into Dragon Ball Z because they were playing it. And then there was that short period when they showed Dragon Ball Z on the local channels. And that's when I was watching it before, a little disjointed, uh-huh. but Adult Swim was kind of streamlining it.
What was it about this that you as a kid, you were like, I need this?
Well, the art was very different to me, and I liked, because a lot of American cartoons at this time when we were younger weren't about, like, fighting and getting strong. It was,
right.
It was very comedy-based. You know, we had Ren and Stimpy, Rocko's Modern Life, Dexter. So you didn't have, like, action cartoons.
Right.
And, when you wanted action, you'd had, like, live-action stuff like Power Rangers, Masked Rider.
Yeah.
And then there was that one, like... I always forget the name, but it's like Masters of the Something, but it was the karate show where it was like this karate federation and they had the different people. I don't know that show.
Gosh. They might not have showed that in Ohio.
Oh, no. It was on Fox Kids.
Okay.
So it was like, it was popping.
There were, there was like Ninja Turtles and X-Men and stuff, but that was all still kind of like Japanese inspired at least.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was the only, and I was deep into X-Men, and that's kind of what fueled kind of my comic book.
Uh-huh.
Love was, shows like X-Men, Batman the Animated Series. But, besides that, you didn't have much variety. Like, it stopped at comic books is where you're getting the action stuff, but you didn't have anything other than that. So this was different and cool.
And when, like... You got this different cool thing, right? Like, we've all seen stuff that's different and cool, but, like, this clearly spoke to something about young Iffy that, like, other shit didn't. What was it about Goku, right, his story that you're like, this.
I think it was just he was this buff dude who was getting, like, stronger, and he would, and just the idea of, like, I want to test my strength. I'm not just fine with being strong and be like, okay, it's like I need to see how much stronger I can get and kind of pushing the limits. And I was really into that.
Because you're a really strong dude now. You like scrawny when you were a kid?
I wasn't scrawny. I was always kind of like a rotund, a healthy, as my mom's friends would describe me, kid.
Thick.
Yeah, very thick. So it was just more just like, liking the idea. And I think just kind of I've always been that kind of semi-competitive person where it's like, what can you do to be the best?
Right. Was it about like feeling... Was there ever a place where sort of you had kind of a controlling upbringing where you felt... a little powerless, and this was something where, like, I want to feel like that.
Not that I know of. Okay. I think I was just a little dork who liked action.
you just liked that people were, like, throwing punches and shit. Yeah. So DBZ was the first one for you, and then was it just that for a while, or did it branch immediately?
Yeah, it was pretty much at first anything that I can get my hands on. So, like, DBZ, Sailor Moon, anything that was kind of showing... locally. Then when Adult Swim came around, that's when, and then I was in high school and, the internet was starting to expand a bit.
Yeah.
That's when we start mixing it up. So I got into Witch Hunter Robin really quick and I would record that on VHS. Outlaw Star. Gundam.
Outlaw Star and Gundam, everything.
That, Cartoon Network and Adult Swim were kind of feeding to me. I was just chewing it all up. And at this time, I really wanted to do art. So I was doing a lot of art.
Right.
I signed up for this form called Polycarbon BBS, which was like polycarbon.com was this site of drawing tutorials. And it was funny because I found the forum before the site. And then someone was kind of explaining like, oh yeah, this forum is a runoff of this tutorial site. And people would do like tutorials on like how to draw just in general. And it was a really cool community. And what really kind of sucked me in was they had this thing called Fight Club. And what they would do is is basically RPing with art. You would create comics with other people. And so you would pitch the Fight Club where you're like, here's the premise of the battle. And then everyone would pitch their characters and everyone would take one page to continue the fight.
That's cool.
And it was real cool. Yeah. So like I would use my dad's scanner and it kind of pushed me to want to be a better artist because like you'd see some of these guys were insane and no one ever made you feel bad about not being as good as them, because it was just like, that was just the next page. So it was real cool. And also it was real cool to see like a character you draw, and then like you're drawing with someone who's way better, and then they draw your character and you're like, wow, that's super cool.
That is cool. That's almost the Goku thing. Mm-hmm. I want to push myself to get better.
Oh yeah.
And that also takes us to something I love talking about on this podcast, which is community, right? Because this is a podcast about like the world is a real rough place.
Yeah.
But what are the things that are good for it? And like right now it feels like we've been talking about something that sort of sparks excitement and curiosity in you and makes you sort of know you a bit better. But there's also that community aspect, which I feel is huge in the world of anime fans, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even till this day, you know, I have these like workout shirts that are Dragon Ball Z based. And like, you know, there's always someone who's like, oh, Dragon Ball Z, you know, and it is this thing of like, oh, there's this thing that I like that someone else likes, especially when you think back in the day when not everyone was as into anime.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't as accessible as it is now. Like, you know, back when I was talking about with Adult Swim, when I got into Naruto, I had a friend who would download it and put it on this DVD disc for me, and then I would load it in and just Friday night burn through a whole bunch of episodes just watching them back to back.
Lock the door and see what's up with Sakura and Sasuke. Yeah.
So like it was that kind of niche underground thing, and I think the peak that I got was my first year in community college. I signed up for Japanese class because, of course, and like that's when I was there were just some kids in there who were just super mega weebs, and I was like, oh man, this is the peak of it. But they were very, and that was kind of the first time I kind of saw the kind of clicky gatekeeperiness of it, because like, you know, I heard them talking anime. I was like, oh man, what anime do you like? And they're like, well, we like, you know, darker animes. And they started naming off, rattling off, you know, animes I didn't know. And I was like, oh yeah, I haven't watched any of those. And they kind of like laughed and turned away. And I was like, okay, cool. You guys aren't cool at all.
Yeah, you guys suck. You're taking cartoons and making them awful.
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of place in the, like, finding your place in a community does kind of come up a lot. It's like, I found this thing and having it let me know who else I could like relate to and talk to, right? Like, had somebody come in and talk about how the music he liked when he was a kid, nobody else liked it. And when he found people who liked it too, he was like, cool, we can like get along. You're not going to beat me up.
Yeah.
Right. And like, that sounds like until you found sort of the shitty clickiness, like, it's a cool way to know, like, who it's a shibboleth, like, who's your friend, you know, who you're tight with, right?
Well, yeah, and I feel like it's just one thing I kind of always revert back to is the idea of water cooler talk. Mm. And I feel like it was just a microcosm of that, where when you're in school, all the kids watch like the newest movie or the newest show or sports or what's going on in the kind of micro social diaspora that's going on in the school. Versus, you know, this weird Japanese cartoon that, you know, you only have access to if you search for it online and download.
Right.
So it feels like you're on your own little secret club, because, you know, you can't really talk about someone unless they put in that same amount of effort to find it.
Yeah.
And if it's something you're really into, it kind of sucks, because, you know, everyone loves talking about, you know, the stuff they're into. And I feel like, as of recently, that's kind of, everyone's kind of been able to relate with that, when you have these like popular shows like Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, like TV has gotten to the point where they kind of have this cultiness to them, where you can like talk about aspects of it and people are worried about spoilers. But you know, that wasn't the wave always. You know, the people, it would have been weird to like be that into, you know, speculating TV, because it was always, I don't think it was as, I mean, it's weird to like say, I don't think this is, because it's always been around in some element, but I feel like the popularity of it is what hasn't always been there.
Right, of like TV and certain things.
Yeah.
So did you feel lonely a lot in this? Like,
no, I was able to find fellow nerds real quick.
Yeah.
And my school and my senior class was fairly large. Like, I think we had like almost 1,000 kids.
Oh shit! Okay.
So it was very easy to find, you know, who was into what, and especially because I like so many things. Yeah. I love, I like different types of music, TV, video games, anime. So I kind of always been the guy popping around different groups. And so I never felt lonely in that sense. But, you know, I did have like that core set of friends that I could talk anime with.
Cool.
And then, of course, I had the Polycarbon BBS forums at this time now where I can talk about that stuff as well.
So you like had a place to go to with it.
Yeah. I was pretty quick to adopt like internet communities now we know why, because it's like a streamline into people who are into the same stuff as you. So you don't, when you satiate that part of your, I think, mentality, it's easy for you to kind of just go with the flow everywhere else, IRL.
So there's something I'm curious about here, because you just said, like, you have a lot of interest. You like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, when I pitched the topic of the show to you, you chose anime.
Yeah.
And I still, like, because you could have chose a different type of show or a different type of music you like or, like, anything. It sounds like you aren't the type of person who's like, I only like this, and that's it.
Yeah.
But you still chose this one thing, as you're like, if the world was burning, the fact that anime exists, I'd be like, this too will pass, right? It's worth it. I can keep going. What about this genre, this art form, the stories that are told in it makes it that for you?
It was to answer that question.
Yeah.
You're saying, like, you know, if the world is burning, what's something I can look to and be like, at least there's this? And the reason I chose anime is because even though there's so many different types of anime, one of the biggest overarching, you know, story types is overcoming, you know, a huge problem, a little person overcoming a huge problem. You see that even in, like, I think that's like that moment in One Punch Man when it's the one Moomin Rider.
Yeah.
And he's fighting this super, everyone knows he has no powers.
Yeah.
He's just a guy on a bike. Also, it's great because it's like a reference to Kamen Rider. But, you know, it was just like he was going to stand up for what's right, even though it was going to kill him. And, like, the fact that even this comedy anime that's making fun of anime tropes still was like, we still have to show this heart of the, like, we still have to have this heart. And that's the story at the heart of every anime. And even with this funny, ridiculous, blown out parody of an anime, they're still like, no, this is still the heart of it, is that, you know, stand up for what's right, even if the world's standing against you.
Yeah.
And you have stuff like My Hero Academia, same thing, which is like, if you like One Punch Man and want, like, it seems like you're checking out Naruto and you want a little shonen flavor, I highly suggest that. It's not as long as Naruto right now.
Yeah, Jesus, but it's Naruto is so long.
It's almost like the grounded version of One Punch Man, because it is a world where everyone's a superhero, and in this world you go to a superhero academy, and so this kid all his life has looked up to this superhero, why am I forgetting his name right now, either way, this kid,
you will not get added by any of my fans, don't worry.
I'm gonna remember it as I tell the story, but he's looked up to this hero all his life, wanted to be a hero, because everyone in, like, I think it's like 80% of the world is born with a quirk, which is a superpower. And some people's quirk is as silly, like the main character's mom, she can use telepathy but really slowly, and like some people like can punch explosions. And so, you know, he's like real excited, he wants to be, you know, He wants to be this big hero, and then he finds out he doesn't have a quirk, and it like kind of like wrecks him. And he's like, I'm still gonna be a hero even without a quirk. He's still gonna be a hero. And, you know, without spoiling anything, Pat, because it's like the first two episodes, but, like, you know, it's just him overcoming that, and in the way that he can. And, like, I remember, like, almost like tearing up at that, because it's just, there's just nothing better than, especially in times like now, knowing, like, you know, you can just follow your heart, put your heart into it, and you can overcome almost anything.
Right. Like, it is, it's optimistic.
Yeah.
It's so full of optimism. Even the darkest anime I've ever seen, even Attack on Titan is still, it is super realistic, and that shit is bad. War is disgusting and ugly, and everyone is dying, but there's still like, there's a little optimism that like, okay, we've shown you hell. Here's just like a little bit.
Well, even then, because even if you think about the concept of Attack on Titan, instead of just, you know, leaning over or just running or trying to find some way away, they are standing their ground as a whole and just trying every way they can to find a way to defeat this.
Right.
They have not given up. And at this point, when the anime even starts, it seems like they have lost so much. And that's what it's about, is like, even when your back's against the wall and it seems like the world is burning down, like you just still gotta fight. There's no reason to ever give up.
Yeah, I love that anime does seem to be really good at finding its own tropes and then doing things with them. Like One Punch Man and Attack on Titan are both like, sort of, they feel like responses to the Naruto, the DBZ, like, optimism, we'll get stronger, it'll go well. It's like, well, things, either it's like putting that on its head and how funny that is, like, everyone just got murdered in this town, well, oh, well, we'll rebuild, or like, now everyone's dying and it's hell, and like, let's talk about that and still try to, like, still examine the trope in it. And I also like the Attack on Titan is the only anime that's ever had a Jewish hero in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that they probably just chose the name Levi for no reason, but I'm like, awesome. I could be that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. So there's just so many different ways they approach that. But in the end, like, even the bleakest of animes still have that part of it that's like, in the end, we'll still fight for what's right. You know? There are some that just are just mega bleak, like Devilman Crybaby. But I mean, it's still a fun ride. And like Devilman Crybaby is, I feel like, one of the
ones that
I haven't
even heard of that one. That name is silly as hell.
It's on Netflix. I highly recommend you check it out. It's a one shot anime. So it's like, I think maybe 16 episodes, and then it begins and ends. So it's like one you can check out, start and finish. And it was beautiful even in that sense, for different reasons. But in general, most animes are all about just standing your ground and fighting for what you believe in. And I feel like, you know, when things get rough in life, that's something you can watch that'll keep your head in there. That's something you can watch that make you feel, you know, just strong again. Maybe it'll give you that extra ounce of oomph that you're like, I can do this. You know,
is that a thing that comes up in your life? Like, does that happen to you often?
You know, not even on purpose. Like, it'll be like a thing where, like, you know, you're feeling kind of down, you're looking at the news and it feels hopeless. And then you just, you know, to escape or something, you pop in an anime, you watch it and you see this person have all the odds stacked against them. And they still, you know, keep their, you know, white knuckle it, push through, and in the end, you know, overcome that problem. And you're like, it kind of gives you that energy of like, oh yeah, you know, we can just, it's going to suck for a bit, but it's not over.
Yeah. Hell yeah. This is a question I don't ask too often, but I'm trying to in a couple interviews when it feels right. Right? Because it's sort of a loaded term and everyone has their own thoughts about it. But is there anything that's like about anime that almost has like a spiritual significance to you?
I feel like there's a level to it where I try and apply a lot of things I like from characters I see to my life.
Yeah.
Like, especially Goku. Goku obviously is my favorite character. And there's something to like really just testing yourself, not resting on your laurels, and in trying to go even further beyond the point. Like, you know, when you get to the point where, especially in Super, where he's Super Saiyan God, he's as strong as a god, and he's still trying to get stronger than that. He's still not, you know, there's so many times he can just kind of nope out and, you know, take the easy route or try not to train. He's like, I'm super strong, but he's like, no, I'm gonna just keep getting stronger till I can't anymore. And I think that's something everyone can apply you know, to life where it's like, yeah, you may be the best, but why not try and be better than you? Why not try and top your best?
That's beautiful. What does that look like in your life right now? Like, I want to know how you're applying that.
I think it is just simply, you know, because I achieve something, because I, you know, do something good, not just leave it at that. I think, you know, one of the, you know, this gets a little insidery baseball, but one of the things I did last year is I like wrote a multicam. And I remember when I first kind of told my manager, like, oh man, I'm gonna write this multicam for my sample. And she was like, oh, it's getting kind of close to pilot season. Mm-hmm. I mean, to staffing season, it's gonna be hard for you to pull that off. And then I did it and I felt good, you know, about it. And that's kind of my win. And so this year I'm like, all right, well, let's write two samples. Let's go, you know, like, so it is. It seems like excessive. Like, why do you need two? You're probably only going to send one, but it's like, let's see how much I can do. Like, I've proven myself that, you know, in a short time frame, I can punch out something good. But how about, you know, seeing if I can punch out multiple and just kind of challenging myself in ways and treating them like writer's exercise, because you can, you know, you can keep a sample for, you know, some people keep their samples for a while, or, you know, I want to try to constantly be switching out stuff, have newer material. And I think same thing in like improv and stand up, just before every show, like, okay, I know I'm good at this. What's something that can challenge me that I can try and be better at?
Hell yeah. Do you do that in the gym too?
Oh, well, in the gym, yeah. It's always in the gym, it's built easily like that, because I do a lot of powerlifting. Uh-huh. So you're always trying to lift more. So that's built in the workouts that I do in themselves.
But does the gym, is that even a thing where you're like, I'm going to start lifting because I want to see if I can push myself?
Oh, that's why I lifted in the first place. Yeah. Once I started getting, you know, into powerlifting, it was like, man, can I get up to 400 pounds? Can I get up to 500 pounds? And then you kind of set that goal and just keep working towards it. And when you hit it, you're great. And then that's kind of, and you switch it up every now and then, like, oh, can I cut this weight? Everything is a challenge for you to compete. And that's kind of how I got so into fitness, is because I gamified everything. Everything was like, you know, leveling up for me.
If you didn't have this role model in anime in general, and sort of the Goku model in specific, how do you think your life would be compared to how it is now?
I don't know. I never really thought about that, but I feel like I would have found some other Goku. You know, I would have found some other person in media to kind of drive me, because I find that's oftentimes the type of character that I like to look at, is the person who like wants to be the best and get better. So I think if there wasn't Goku, I would have found another type.
Found somebody else. Awesome. Okay. I feel like we've covered a lot of ground. I want to hit sort of one last thing.
Okay.
I like to work with, it's more of a heuristic than anything, but the big G and the little G good of a thing. So the little G good is like, what's good for you, makes you happy, whatever. The big G good is like global. This makes the world a better place. Do you think in maybe one sentence each, you could kind of hit what the big and little G's are for anime?
Yeah. I think the little G that's good for you is it's very entertaining, and in itself, there's so many types and styles in that genre that you can kind of find what fits you and can keep you entertained. And I think the big G is when you have these characters like Goku and, you know, Midoriya and Luffy in One Piece, and you know, the list goes on, and Naruto, you do have like kids watching and looking up to people like that, and can have this kind of optimistic view on life. Like, everyone's seen the kind of cheesy kid who's like charging up like he's Goku. But, you know, besides that kind of straight, heavy-handed, outward, cheesy nerdiness, there's something in that kid now that is letting him know that he can overcome any problems that come his way if he just kind of puts his heart and mind to it. And that, I think that's a perfect thing for any kid to grow up with.
Hell yeah, man. That is awesome. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to do top five anime for my listeners who don't know any.
Top five for anyone who's looking to jump into it. I think the five, it's in no particular order. It's more just a well-rounded list, and I'm going to hit you off with only one really long one and everything else short. So number one is going to be my all-time favorite over Dragon Ball Z, which is Tengatop and Gurren Lagann, which is about two seasons long. And, you know, even the characters in here, it's a larger-than-life anime that just spans worlds. Number two, Dragon Ball Z. You know, I would say go with Dragon Ball Kai. They cut out a lot of the filler episodes. And once you get that and find your love, go back and watch Z and watch those silly filler episodes and Dragon Ball Super and so on and so forth. You can watch the movies like Tree of Life and stuff like that to really get you going if you want to just take a quick short trip through that. I think three is going to be Devilman Crybaby, because a lot of the first two animes are going to show you that, you know, animes can be fun, good, and happy, and the ending could be happy. And three is going to show you how animes can hurt you. Four, for me, I think I'll go with Cowboy Bebop. That's another solid anime, and that is so stylistic, and it shows you, I feel like, you know, even Tengatop, and even though it's quite different from DBZ, kind of is that same, kind of walks that line where it kind of seems similar to a shonen. But Cowboy Bebop is so gorgeous, beautiful, and fun. And I think five is going to be Big O for me, which I really liked. That was a mecha anime. It was almost like Batman with a mech, but there was always this gloominess to the whole series, which was interesting to me, where it just felt like it was like, you know, one day at a time. That's what it felt like the energy of that show was. And I'm going to go back and watch it now because I just reminded myself about it.
Hell yeah. That was beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you?
You can find me at IfyWadiway, IfyNwadiwe on Twitter and Instagram, IfDs on Twitch if you're into that. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. And this is something I've been doing sort of as a sneak on my guests. If there's a thing you love that has nothing to do with you and you haven't mentioned yet, like some content, whatever, music, movies that you think people have to check out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say, you know, I feel like Beautiful Boy. Go ahead and check that movie out. I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, everyone's been raving about it, and I'm getting ready to rush to it.
That's a very optimistic thing for you to do.
Yeah. You know, I I feel like the story itself is one of those that are like, oh, this is going to be a heavy one, but it's going to be worth checking out.
Hell yeah. Thank you, guys. I am Alex Schiffman. This has been At Least There's This, a podcast about some of the small good things in our world of hurt. You can find me at Least Pod on Twitter. Please say hey. I'm also on Facebook. And my thing is, I don't know, look up some interviews with this journalist Anand Giriharidas. He's got some really cool shit to say. I've just been streamlining all of his stuff right now. He's awesome.
Nice.
And one thing. Do one thing for me, guys. Let's say you've made a friend like Iffy, and they're like, yo, you gotta watch Dragon Ball Z, right? And you're sitting down through an episode that is, let's say, about 25 minutes of just Goku powering up. And you're like, I like this, but this sounds like he's having trouble on the toilet right now. Pull out your phone and do this for me. Go to the Apple Podcast Store, iTunes is what it's called colloquially. Find At Least There's This. Give me 5 stars. Maybe say, hey, Alex is great. He does good work. Then sit back and buckle up, because this whole Frieza saga is just going to take you for a ride. Thank you, guys. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.